We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2 tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, identifying marks. You know, counterfeiting has long been a problem. And of course, counterfeiting money. People have been doing that for a long time. In fact, did you know that that's why the Secret Service was created? To stop counterfeiters. They were not to stop people from hurting the president. They were to catch counterfeiters during the Civil War. And so they created the Secret Service to put an end to that. They didn't do a very good job because counterfeiting is still a problem today. When I worked for McDonald's as a teenager, I remember we got a notice. There's a counterfeiter going around to all the fast food restaurants in the area, and our store had already gotten hit with $50 bills. They were phony. Okay. But then, you know, another racket is counterfeit art. There are millions to be made in counterfeit art. You know, the people that put so much work and effort into counterfeiting expensive pieces of art, boy, if they'd put that work into legitimate means, they'd probably be millionaires the right way. But there's a lot of money traded hand over hand in the counterfeit art business. What is a major racket of counterfeiting in this day and age that we live in? Well, counterfeit identities. Someone can steal your identity and pretend to be you, and they're a counterfeit. Anybody belong to LifeLock? I do. I started that several years ago just for the peace of mind, just because of the day and age we live in. Someone's always wanting to counterfeit you to borrow money in your name. And some of you have already had your identities stolen, and man, do I hear horror stories and the headache that you have to go through. You know, counterfeiting does a lot of destruction. It creates a mess, right? Well, none of this is new to Satan. He's been counterfeiting God's word since Adam and Eve. It was Satan who asked Eve, has God really said such and such? Did he really say that? Put the doubt into her mind. And then went as far as to say, well, here's what God really meant. Here's what will really happen. And he went out lied to Eve and counterfeited God's word. Well, it is with that in mind that Peter writes what we call chapter 2 of the book of 2 Peter. See, chapter 1 was a really uplifting, encouraging chapter, wasn't it? About practicing your faith and strengthening your faith and why your faith is grounded in truth, because you have eyewitnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ who were also ear witnesses to the very word of God. In chapter 2, Peter's now going to tell you why chapter 1 is so important. In other words, why it's so important that your faith be strong. And the reason is, there's counterfeit Bible teachers out there. That's why. After having spent so much time talking about the power of the Word of God and the way we got the Word of God and those Old Testament prophets. Remember verse 21 from last week of chapter 1? For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 2, verse 1. But, there's always a but, isn't there? He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, and there were. You can read about some of those in the Old Testament. Some of those false prophets who portrayed themselves to be God's spokesmen and in fact were not. Now, why is Peter pointing that out? Because of the next sentence. He says, even as there will be false teachers among you. And folks, that is future tense, but for us, we're there. The false teachers are here. Right? They started actually very early, even back in Peter's day. The people that first read this letter got their taste and their fill of false teachers, and so can we. To think that everybody who opens the Bible is preaching the truth is to be like a sheep walking about in wolf-infested woods and thinking you're safe. Just because somebody holds the word of God up and says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that what that person teaches comes from the Lord. And false teachers are just a reality. They've been around a long time, and they will be until the Lord comes. And you got to watch for that. Got to watch out for false teachers. And the thing is, most false teachers look good, so they're not that easy to identify. Oh, sure, the man with a robe and a rope belt, long hair and a beard, walking up the streets with a sign that says the earth is going to end tomorrow. Yeah, those guys are easy to spot, but that's not really what most false teachers do anymore. Most false teachers look and behave quite normally. Some wear suits. They smell nice. And you can't necessarily differentiate a false teacher from a true teacher simply by the way the person looks. Can't do that. Okay? You will identify a false teacher not by how he looks, but by what he says or what she says. Now, Peter spells out four identifying marks of a false teacher here. And I should note that we are talking about true false teachers. We're not talking about the teacher or the preacher who makes a mistake once in a while. Like in Acts chapter 18, a man named Apollos was street preaching, essentially, and he was preaching the truth, but he was rather young in the faith, and so he was making a few mistakes. So a married couple, Aquila and Priscilla, who were listening to him preach, and they were much more adverse in the newfound Christian faith, they pulled him aside to point out more clearly some of the things that he wasn't getting right. Okay? He wasn't a false teacher. He was a true teacher of God's word who was just making a mistake. And that's every true teacher of God's word. Your average preacher speaks about, well, you got to figure an hour on Sunday, then maybe another, you know, another hour between Sunday school class and a Wednesday devotion. So he's got about 3 hours a week with his vacation. Let's average it out to 50 weeks a year. So what, about 150 hours a week? A man that publicly speaks 150 hours a week is going to make some mistakes, all right? And that's not who, I make those mistakes, but that's not who Peter's talking about, okay? Was my math off? See, I told you. There you go. Right? Me and math, we broke up in the 80s. Now it's real awkward when we get together. So what did I say, 3 hours a week times 50? Yeah, that's what I said. So, right. So if you're going to speak that much, you're going to make a mistake now and then. All right? But here's the guys that you really got to watch out for, okay? All right? I don't want you to be afraid of me, unless I'm tutoring your son in math. But other than that, don't be afraid of the preacher who just wants to give you the word. But you better watch out for the one who is a false teacher. But the only thing is, how do you know? Well, let's take a look. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, notice, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. You know a false teacher because he's teaching destructive heresies. Number one. We say, now, but what's a heresy? Okay, here's what the word heresy means. Basically, heresy is to choose an opinion, to make a choice, and to choose an opinion. What's the problem with doing that? We're not supposed to teach opinions. We're supposed to teach the Word of God. So a heresy is choosing an opinion that differs from God's truth, okay? And what that does is it forms a section or a faction in God's church. We're supposed to have unity, right? But false doctrine, teaching a man's opinion that contradicts the truth, is false doctrine, and that breaks off from the truth and the unity in God's church and creates a section. Got to be careful with that. That's heresy. To teach false heresy is to deny true doctrine. And yet, false teachers are known more by what they deny than by what they affirm. Harold Camping denied the unknowability of the Lord's return. He believed you can know when the Lord's coming back, so he predicted it several times, was wrong every time, made a mockery out of the return of Christ. He also denied the church age would endure until the Lord's return. He thought the church age ended sometime, I think, in the 90s. If you're a Christian, according to Harold Camping, don't go to church. All churches are apostate. You're just supposed to stay at home and listen to his Christian radio program. Really? Isn't that ridiculous? That's heresy. But false teachers, notice it says, they bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. False teachers do things like deny salvation by grace, and they teach that you must earn your salvation. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. And the false heretic holds up the word of God and says, you must do certain things to earn eternal life. That's heresy. It's a false opinion. You know, you want to know why there are so many different religious groups throughout the planet, and they all believe different things, while at the same time, they all hold to the Word of God. Well, now you know why. Heresy. Factions. Sections. They've broken off of the truth while claiming to hold on to the Bible. That's why we have so many different religious groups and different organizations that all claim to believe in the Bible, yet hold the very strange things. Heresy. Right? Differing opinions that contradict the truth. You notice that he says in verse 2 that they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. See, false teachers are not up front. They sneak in what it is they have to teach. I know of a pastor who candidated at a particular church, and during the candidation process and the question and answer time, he did just fine. Passed with flying colors, and then when he was the pastor of the church, he took the church in a completely different direction. He later admitted that during his candidation, he simply told the people what he knew they wanted to hear. But that was not at all his intention. Heretic. He secretly brought in his idea. In fact, where it says in verse 1, where it says that they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. You know what that word bring in means? It could literally be translated, they lay alongside of their destructive heresies. In other words, the false teacher lays alongside his false teaching, right along the true teaching, kind of like rat poison. Rat poison is mostly good food, if you read the ingredients on the box, but just a little percentage of it is poison, and it's the poison that kills the rat. Right. Well, that's what the false teacher does. He has some good teaching, some good truth, but he lays along his false doctrine alongside of it, then whittles away at the true doctrine until the false doctrine is all he's got left. That takes secrecy. It's a covert operation. And that's what Peter says that the false teacher does. And notice, he says that these heresies are destructive heresies. Not all heresies are destructive. If I teach that God uses little fairies and garden gnomes to spread his word, yeah, that's heresy, but I won't do too much damage because people think I'm a nut. So that's not really a destructive heresy. But the false teacher, like the spiritual youth leader who told the youth group that sex before marriage is okay as long as you truly love each other, well, he set those teens up to destroy themselves. Because he was a false teacher preaching destructive heresies that those teens were quick to buy into. Well, that's one mark of a false teacher, is look at what he's teaching. Is he teaching the Word of God? Is she teaching the Word of God? Or is that which is taught an opinion that contradicts the Word of God? Well, he also says in verse 1, he says, even denying the Lord who bought them. That's a second mark, really, a very distinguishing mark of a false teacher is they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the Lord who bought them. To deny the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, is to reject Christ. He's definitely talking about the unsaved at this point. False teachers do not know the Lord, and that they deny the Lord. And isn't it interesting to read that Jesus Christ died on the cross for those who would deny him as well as for those who would accept him? He died for everybody. But the false teacher denies the Lord. Now, not necessarily outright, I've noticed. That's what makes false teaching so deceptive. They may hold to the cross and speak of the Lord, Jesus, but Jesus himself said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 7:21. Well, false teachers, they deny, first of all, who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord and creator of all. Let's take a sneak peek at chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" See, that's what false teachers will feed, that type of thinking. False teachers deny the fact that Jesus Christ is, in fact, creator of all. Do we not have that as a big problem in the world today? You weren't created, you evolved. That's what the world's telling you. False teachers will feed that. But they don't only deny, you know, the idea that the Lord is creator of all, they deny the very deity of Jesus Christ, that he is in fact God. Folks, Christianity is Christ, and Christ claimed deity. And if you can destroy what Christ claimed to be, you destroy the basis of Christianity. If Jesus Christ is in fact not God, then we have a real problem, because our faith is based on a man, and no man can save mankind from the sins of the world. Had to be the God-man, God Almighty himself, in the form of the Son, Jesus Christ. But false teachers will deny that and reject that Jesus Christ is God. Or if they hold to the idea that he is a God and that there is a multiplicity of gods, now you have another problem, because God made it very clear in the Old Testament that there is but one God. False teaching holds Jesus Christ as either just a man or a separate God from the God of the Bible. And that's false teaching. But they don't only deny what Jesus Christ is. False teachers also deny what Jesus Christ did. False teachers will deny that Jesus Christ died for sin and rose in victory. They'll deny that. Okay? And that's really become common in this day and age. And notice that swift destruction is what they get, the last part of verse 1. They bring on themselves swift destruction. Now, as unbelievers, false teachers already stand condemned, right? Because all unbelievers stand condemned. John 3:18 says that, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. But to the false teacher who would lead people astray with his teaching, greater destruction waits. Peter's going to get into that in greater detail later on in this chapter, which we'll see in weeks to come. Number 3, you notice in verse 2, says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed." Number 3, third mark, distinguishing mark of a false teacher, they often have a following. They often have a following. Again, preaching in pixies and fairies and garden gnomes doesn't create much of a following. Now, if you look on the internet, you can find a small following for just about anything, and that's true. There's weird people out there, and they'll believe just about anything. But a false teacher will develop quite the following. Well, we as a people, we like to feel good, right? We do. Sometimes, even if the feeling is immoral or sensuous in a sinful way. Okay? Well, that's what false teaching tends to appeal to, our sensuality. Because the word destructive in verse 2, many will follow their destructive ways. Some translations use the word licentious ways. Okay? That word destructive or licentious, you know what it means? It means sensuous. It says many will follow their sensuous ways. Why? Because false teaching appeals to our immoral senses. And because people like that, false teaching is very effective. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, the young lady whose youth leader told her, hey, it's okay to have sex with your boyfriend as long as you really love him. Well, to the sensuous flesh, that is much more appealing than to hear maintain your virginity until after you're married. Well, that's no fun. And so the youth leader had a following in his sensuous and destructive teaching. I like what Joe Louis, professional boxer in the 1930s, said. He said, I don't necessarily like money, but it quiets my nerves. I think we all like to have our nerves quieted by money. So it's very appealing to hear a preacher with the Bible in his hand say, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, and he'll give you all kinds of things if you'll just trust in him. Well, now that appeals to our senses, doesn't it? Okay. One problem with that teaching is heretical. It is not biblical. Skip back to 1 Peter. We looked at this last year, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7, to the one who says, God just wants you to be happy and healthy and have a lot of stuff. Well, Peter said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus himself said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Folks, that Jesus wants you to have a pain-free life and just have a lot of stuff and be showered with material goods, and that's what he'll give you if you just follow him, that is heresy. That's called the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is heresy. But it sure sounds good, and it has a following. And there's preachers out there preaching the prosperity gospel, and people are flocking to that type of false teaching by the droves. But people aren't putting their trust in Christ. Christ has so much more to offer than health and wealth today. He has eternity to offer for tomorrow. Yeah, he does want you to be happy, but he may bring that happy by way of pain in your life, that happiness. He may bring the contentment and the peace that comes from within through a trial that happens to you from without. He does all kinds of things to grow his children, but grow you he will, and he'll do it through his truth, not through pleasure. And then, if you look at verse 3, it says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. And there you have the fourth mark, distinguishing mark of a false teacher. And that is, they exploit people instead of preaching Christ. A false teacher exploits people instead of preaches Christ. The root problem of the false teacher is that he doesn't want to give. He wants to get. That's what covetousness is. Verse 3, by covetousness, by a greedy desire to have more of what they don't have. So how does he get more of what he doesn't have? By exploitation, or through exploitation. He exploits you. That is, the false teacher treats you like your merchandise. You know what we saw this morning? The reason you get in there with people is because you ought to see people as an opportunity to serve, an opportunity for you to give to, not as an opportunity for you to take from. The false teacher sees people as something to get. You can get something from them. So he exploits them. And how does he do that? It says through deceptive words. Again, words that sound good, words that tickle the ear. But you got to listen to what a false teacher says. The word deceptive, or some translations say feigned, you know what that is a translation of? Deceptive is a translation of the Greek word plastos. What does that sound like? It's where we get the word plastic. Plastic. And that's the problem with so much of today's merchandise, is it's plastic, right? You know, we say things aren't made the way they used to. In a lot of ways, that is true. I rebuilt a bandsaw, a Delta Rockwell bandsaw. This is a high-dollar bandsaw. Somebody gave it to me. It's older than I am. It's an early 1960s model. So I took the thing home, took it apart, cleaned all the rust off of it, buffed it out, ground all the threads on everything, and you know, I only had to replace a couple of parts, which Delta still carries. They still carry the parts for this old bandsaw. But the rest of it was all there. It just needed to be cleaned. Why? There wasn't a bit of plastic on this whole thing. You buy a Delta Rockwell bandsaw today, you're still going to pay a lot. But if you open up the front and look at the innards, whole lot of plastic on that saw. And that plastic wears out. And that's why stuff doesn't last the way it used to. You know, the toys that I had. I used to have little tractors and stuff. And Tonka toys. Man, you see Tonka toys in a sandbox, they may get beat up, dented, and rusty, but they're still there. Plastic doesn't last, does it? Look at all the little plastic trucks that are left out in the sun after one summer. They fade, they get brittle. But folks, those are the words and the teachings of a heretic. Those teachings don't last. They're plastic. They're destructive. They crumble. They break. They look good only for a little while. But in the end, false teaching just does not endure. I know it's overwhelming when everywhere you turn, people believe in evolution. It's all over the place. You can't take a tour of the Grand Canyon or any of our national parks without hearing the park ranger talk about millions and millions of years. And that seems like it's getting old. Well, as far as world history goes, the teaching of evolution is really a fairly young teaching. And folks, it's a false teaching. It's not going to last. It won't endure. The truth of God's word will prevail when this is all said and done. So let's just stick to the truth now. Okay? So you got four marks there. Okay, the false teacher teaches destructive heresies. He denies Jesus Christ. He has a following. And he'll exploit people instead of preach the truth, instead of preach Christ. Now, how can you know, how can you get to that point where you can identify these marks in a person? Well, it's really not that hard. Go back to chapter 1. Read all of chapter 1, but especially 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. If you'll just stick to the word and get to know the word, folks, you'll identify those who would pervert the word. It won't be that hard if you know the truth. Have you noticed when you get to know somebody, you can even identify them by their walk? You notice that? And deer hunting out in the hills and canyons of Arizona. You know, my family, my dad, grandpa, and uncle, we'd often spread out. We'd be all over the place. And there's other hunters out there, too. And I may be standing on a ridge, and I'd look across a canyon. Maybe, you know, a quarter mile away, I see a person. And is that one of my relatives, or is that somebody else? I'm not sure. Till that person would start to walk. I knew who they were. I could identify my dad's walk, or my Uncle Manuel's walk, or my grandpa's walk. You know, Al Day. If I see a tall, lean person across the parking lot, and it's a little fuzzy, and I don't know who it is, as soon as he starts walking, I'll tell you if it's Al or not. I can identify Al Day's walk. You know, that's the way it is when you get to know people. You get to know people, you identify things about them. Their walk, their talk, their mannerisms, the way they do things, the way they say things. Well, it's the exact same way with the Word of God, folks. The more time you spend heeding God's Word and getting into it, the easier it is to identify those who are not preaching God's Word. You get to know this, and those identifying marks will leap out at you. You'll say right away, hey, that's the truth he's preaching, praise God, or that's false. That's heresy. You're surrounded by heresy in this world. May we never preach heresy in this church. So get to know the Word of God, and you'll quickly identify those who deny it. Father in heaven, what a joy to preach, teach, and live the truth of Scripture. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us all we need to grow in the truth and to walk in the truth and to live in the light that he shines upon us. We thank you for that. And Lord, we recognize there are false teachers. We want to steer clear of their teaching, but we also want to pray for such men and women who are themselves led astray and are desperately in need of the truth of Jesus. And we pray for such. We look for opportunities to shine a light on those who walk in darkness. We thank you, Lord, that we stand here today in the light of your Son, the light of your Word, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, not by anything we've done, but because of Jesus Christ who saved us. We thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen.